everyone. Thank you so much for joining me. I am Shelly Kino, and this is Hashtag No Limits. Hashtag No Limits is about people who society places limits upon, but who are busting through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is not a better or more beautiful example than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, a quick little science lesson here. The caterpillar dissolves into its cells and then reforms into the butterfly. But that's not it. It's not finished struggling. It then still has to struggle to get out of the cocoon in order for its wings to be strong enough to fly. That can't be easy. At least I don't think it would be. And neither is busting through the limits that society places on us. And today I am delighted to bring my friend Jennifer Hendricks Fogg to you. And she is going to share her journey of her son and all of the things surrounding their lives. But first, just got to do that like, subscribe, follow button. Make sure that you never miss an episode of Hashtag No Limits. As you can see, this is episode 193. Episode 200 is going to be epic. I have some items to give away. We're going to be just celebrating drastically that day. And you don't want to miss the opportunity to get one of those prizes that I've got. So make sure you hit that like, subscribe, and follow button in order to get the notifications of when we go live. And today, if you are watching or you're listening, please be sure to put a hashtag live and where you're from if you're watching with us today. And if you're watching in the replay, hashtag replay and where you're watching from. All right, I think that's all from me. Let's bring Jennifer on. Jennifer, thank you so much for being here today. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me, Shelley.
Yes, absolutely. So you have a lot of things to talk about, and I want to jump right in and just go for it. So first and foremost, just tell the audience who you are and what brings you to us today.
Awesome. Thank you again. So my name is Jennifer Hendricks Fogg. I am a cancer mom, a special needs mom, all the things. My son Logan was born with a very rare brain tumor. We were told several times he'd never survive, never walk, never talk, never eat, all the things. He has defied all the odds. He's now 8 and went skiing for the first time recently. I am also a special needs empowerment coach. So through my journey, I became certified to help other families and parents like myself. And I'm also a published author. I wrote a book, Tiny Miracles, about my son's journey, as well as the founder of the Logan Strong Foundation, which helps other local families battling cancer and other serious diagnoses.
Awesome. So that's a lot of things to be happening all at once. That sounds like myself and many parents that I know in similar situations to yours. And I'm so appreciative of all the things that you're doing, because if we don't share our experiences, those that go through similar experiences to ours feel alone. And if we can share what we've gone through, the tips and tricks of things that we've learned along the way, and hopefully we can help other people not go through those same pitfalls that we went through. I just love that. I think, you know, as a community in this population, it's so vitally important.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit more about your son and his diagnosis.
Yes. So Logan was diagnosed with a congenital glioblastoma at 3 months old. Again, we were told he would never survive. They sent his biopsy out to a few different hospitals. They received a treatment plan that they were cautiously optimistic. And we just went with it. You know, the irony of our journey is I work for Aflac and I sell cancer insurance for a living. And I did have the cancer plan on him. And Aflac's Children's Cancer Center wrote his treatment plan. So we were super blessed in that regard to have those connections. But he spent the better part of 6 months, well, I say we spent the better part of 6 months living at our local hospital here in Albany, New York. And he underwent treatment for just about 2 years. He beat an unbeatable cancer. There are less than 100 documented cases ever of the type of tumor he was born with.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Pretty surreal. pretty surreal. He's my first and only child. I had him at 40, so I say go big or go home.
Yeah, absolutely. So 100 nationwide or worldwide?
Worldwide ever, less than 100 cases.
Wow.
This particular mutation. Yeah.
That's crazy. So the fact that it's congenital means it started at birth, correct?
Correct. So he was actually born with a brain bleed via emergency C-section. They, at my last ultrasound, they found fluid on his brain. And then a week later, I had an MRI and they found the fluid in his brain to actually be a brain bleed. So I had an emergency C-section the next day, excuse me, and they were monitoring that brain bleed when he was born, and at his second MRI follow-up, the brain bleed was gone. And it was because the tumor basically grew off the brain bleed. And it was about the third of the size of his head. So he now has a significant brain injury, from where the tumor was, a subsequent autism diagnosis, bilateral hearing aids. He has a shunt in the back of his head to help drain the brain fluid. And up until about a year ago, he was 100% tube fed. So he never learned how to eat. And a year ago, we relocated our family to Atlanta, Georgia, to go through the Marcus Feeding Center Aggressive Feeding Therapy Program for 3 months. And as of September last year, my son is now 100% by mouth. So he still has his feeding tube for backup, just for a little, you know, security for a little bit. But he's been eating 100% by mouth since September, which is an amazing feat in itself. We had learned that developmentally you learn how to eat the first 2 years of your life. Unfortunately, my son never had that opportunity because he was going through chemo and throwing up and fighting for his life for the first 2 years of his life. So eating was, you know, not an option.
Wow. Fran, thank you for joining us live from Southern Illinois. I appreciate you being here. I don't think I said this. If you have any questions, be sure to put those in the chat or any comments. I mean, first of all, the knowledge that you learn how to eat before age two, you develop that skill.
Yeah.
That's mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
And so this intensive feeding clinic that you went to for the 3 months, what did they do? How did they recover that loss? Basic, I guess, is what it would be. So
the foundation of it, it's an absolutely amazing program, and I will praise them forever and ever and ever. Basically, the basis of their program is like ABA therapy. So it's very, like they break it down completely. Like we learned about ABA therapy down there, and my son now does get ABA therapy at home in a different regard, but they break it down. So it started with just having him sit at a table. You know, how long can you sit at a table for? Then they would put an empty plate in front of him. Then they would put an empty spoon in front of him. Eventually they would put literally a rice size piece of food on a spoon. So it was a gradual program. So, you know, week one, you did this, or however long it took him to progress to that next level. And when we left, so we were there from January, February, March of 2024. When we left at the end of March in 2024, my son was eating 50% by mouth. And then we continued to do the protocols at home. And then in September, he started 100% by mouth. And now our next step is getting him to learn how to feed himself. So right now he's only on pureed foods, but the fact that he's actually eating by mouth is a huge endeavor.
It is incredible. And I love it. I mean, it's most definitely a hashtag no limits.
100%. Yes. Yeah, it's things you don't think about or things you take for granted, or just you're like, oh my gosh, like you said, like you learn how to eat the first 2 years of your life. Like, didn't know that was a thing.
Right. And I knew that there were some soft skills that were developed at that age. In my book, Kathleen didn't have the swallow reflex, and she had been born with a cleft lip and a cleft palate. And so they had to work with her on that. But I didn't think about the entire eating process being something that had to be, or that we learn, I shouldn't say had to be learned, but that we all just tend to learn before age two.
Yeah. And to your point, you know, we've had a couple of swallow studies with Logan to see if, you know, that was the issue, and it never was. It was just the desire, like, for the long, I mean, he took feeding therapy and speech therapy and OT and PT for, you know, he's had it for years, and we've always tried the feeding, but he was at a point where he had a food aversion. Like, if you put food in front of him, he knew how to make himself throw up, and he just wouldn't, it was just a thing. So he had to get over it. And I say this jokingly, they say a side effect of him eating by mouth is language development. So his language and his words and his skill set have exploded tremendously since he started eating by mouth.
That is so interesting. And now that you say it, I can see logically, you know, because you're using the mouth differently and making those muscles and the teeth and the tongue and all of those things work together. Yeah. Again, that's so cool.
Even just drinking from a cup, like he had to learn how to regulate taking a sip. Like, that's a skill in itself.
Yeah. And this is so perfect for hashtag no limits.
Yeah.
But this is exactly what I have tried to tell people for so many years when they have said to people that I know, everybody in my book, but to my students that I've had, when they've said things like, well, you can't read, or you can't, you know, you can't tie your shoes, or you can't, whatever it was, like, we have to stop looking at a concept as the finished product and go back and go, well, what are the steps that lead up to the finished product?
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, just all what you're saying so far has absolutely clarified that for me and solidified it even more that everything has steps.
Yeah.
And if we can learn the steps, figure out the steps, then we can build up to that finished product.
Yep.
Yeah. So Fran says they had to use a straw with her son to help him regulate. Okay. Yeah, I'd be interested.
Use the teddy bear cup, Fran. Be curious. The teddy bear is a little squeezy with a straw. It's super adorable.
Her son, I know her. So her son is in his 20s.
Okay.
So if it's a newer thing, then probably not.
It's still cute. But,
yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's the other thing. You know, it is so amazing to me how much knowledge we have now and how many different devices and objects and whatever you want to supports, helps, whatever you want to call them. I mean, I don't know if it's because I'm so involved in the disability community that I am seeing all these things, but it feels to me that there's been an explosion in the last 5 or so years. I guess you didn't really have a lot of experience prior to your son.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I don't know, right? So, like, I also joke and say, you know, at this point, I should have an honorary medical degree because the amount of knowledge that I know, and it's funny because, like, you forget certain things. Like, I'll have this conversation with you and I'll be like, oh, that thing right there, what is that? That thing, oh, it's a pen, right? Like, it's a capacity issue with all these things that you now know about medicine and treatments and development, right? And like you forget the little words. And
yeah,
it really is a capacity issue. I mean, I remember when they and I remember specifically now, like, they told me they took a piece of my son's brain when they did the tumor resection. Well, wouldn't you know, 3 months later, they show me an image of his brain. And I was like, well, where's that piece of his brain? And they're like, Jen, we told you we had to take it. And I was like, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's that fight or flight, like your brain protects you from that information until you're ready to deal with it. And that truly, like, I remember that clear as day. I like yelled at the doctor. I was like, you never told me you were taking his brain. But right. then, you know, learning, being that Logan's diagnosis was congenital, right? The brain has so much plasticity to it. If it were you or I, like, we'd have to relearn everything and it would be not fun. But for him, he never learned in the first place. So his brain was just rewiring and figuring out on its own. As a matter of fact, we just had an appointment last week with his developmental pediatrician. And she's like, he's a normal 8-year-old. You know, she said, and looking, he just had his good news we just received as well. He just had his annual MRI, which was clear. But the best news we received was that we don't have to do MRIs anymore. Like, we're done. His cancer journey is I just got the chills. I want to cry. Officially over. So no more monitoring. They're like, it's not coming back. He's fine. Now it's a developmental issue. But the developmental pediatrician had stated, she looked at that scan and she said, you know what? He has more brain matter than we initially assumed. So it restructures itself. It's just, it's amazing what the brain can do, especially in children.
Yeah. And Fran does say, unfortunately, yes, that teddy bear thing didn't exist. But yeah, she agrees that the brain is amazing in its plasticity. What an incredible announcement that you were given recently.
Yeah.
I mean, to know that cancer's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's been cancer and treatment free since September 2018, but they were doing, you know, 3-month scans, then 6-month scans, mm-hmm. then annual scans. And then this was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hope you all went out and like got a pizza or whatever his favorite foods are and ice cream, whatever. Because he said he's still on.
Yeah. Purees. Yes.
Yeah.
It's tough though, because like, that's just part of our journey. Like now we have the brain injury, we have the autism diagnosis, we've got the hearing aids, you know, we've got the feeding, you know, he has aggressive behavior. So it didn't just stop with the cancer. Like, the cancer created all these subsequent things.
Right.
It is what it is. Like, we handle it, we deal with it, but it's like, it didn't just end with the cancer. And there's so much more we have to deal with. And I said earlier in my opening too, we actually just took him skiing for the first time. There's an adaptive
water or snow?
Snow. So we're in upstate New York and we have the Double H Ranch, which there's a handful around the country. But it's for children with serious illnesses, and they had an adaptive ski program. And here's my 8-year-old son that wasn't supposed to survive, nonetheless, walk or talk, skiing down a mountain, you know, chatting up his volunteers all day. It was a beautiful thing.
For my listeners, they're all like, Shelly's never speechless. What is it? I mean, everything, you're just exemplifying the hashtag no limits philosophy.
Yeah.
And you and Logan.
Yeah.
And it's a question that Fran just asked. And I think it's very important. And it is you and your family that are busting through these limits.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so much about your lives that is not what you expected it to be when you got pregnant, I'm sure, or when you thought about having a child. And so Fran's question to you is, how do you balance everything and not get overwhelmed?
That's a great question. I mean, I definitely get overwhelmed. I think we all do. I'm a huge advocate for self-care. I get up at 4 a.m. every day. Yes, I'm crazy. I get up at 4.
That's discipline. That's I'm impressed right there again.
but I learned it through my journey, right? Through my son. Like, I was never a morning person before Logan or before we went through this. I learned that in order for me to be able to do everything that I do, and in order for me to have me time and have that sense of security and serenity, that I had to get up early. Like, it's just, it's me, my husband, and my son. And my husband, I'm super blessed with my husband. Like, he's my foundation. He's my strength. And without him, I wouldn't be able to do anything that I do. But I know I got to get up at 4 a.m. I journal, I meditate, I read. I'm at the gym at 5 a.m. and I'm home by 6. And then the boys get up and all hell breaks loose, right? Like, so I know that. Well, that's the thing. Like, if I don't take time for myself before the rest of the house gets up, right, I'm not guaranteed to have time for myself. You know, I do regular, you know, I get massages monthly. You know, I'll get a facial every couple of months. Like, I do things, I get my nails done, right? I do things just to mentally distance myself, I guess, mm-hmm, from my day to day, because I do so much, right? Like, I have a full-time career. I run a nonprofit and I'm a special needs empowerment coach, and I have a special needs son. Oh, and a husband and friends. Right. And right. And
right. And, yeah. And it's right.
We all get overwhelmed. Like, I'm not going to lie. I just actually got overwhelmed on Sunday. I got an email from one of the psychologists at school to fill out a survey. And I was like, oh, thanks for giving me warning about it. It was going to take me an hour and the questions were going to be triggering, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, you have to have a good support system. So luckily I'm very blessed that I grew up with my son's teacher. Like, we went to high school together. So I literally texted her on Sunday morning and I was like, what the hell is this? Like, this is so much. She's like, I know they should warn parents. I was like, yep, putting that in my checklist to follow up with. Yeah. And then I finished it. It was an hour survey. And then after I finished it, they then emailed me like a handwritten survey for 3 pages I had to fill out. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I literally printed it and I was like, Kevin, you're up. And I handed it to my husband and I was like, you know, I'll do what I can do and handle what I can handle. But sometimes you just have to walk away or ask for help. And that was another thing I think we all have to learn on this journey, right? Like, not only is self-care important, but asking for help is a good thing. It's not a sign of weakness at all. Knowing what your limits are, right? No limits, but knowing what those limits are can really help you, you know, get ahead.
Yeah. And as I said, I know Fran and I actually used to have another podcast that was called Friday with Fran. And we often talked about the fact that there aren't buildings that stand on one leg. It has to have support, you know, whether that be another leg or three other legs or just a flat, solid foundation. And we never think, oh, well, how weak is that building because it needed 4 legs or, you know, it needed a
great analogy.
And so I personally think it's a sign of strength to reach out and ask for help because you've been able to overcome your pride.
Yeah.
To be able to ask for that help.
Absolutely.
Fran's got some. So true. Asking for help is a strength. Yeah. She was probably typing that as I was saying it or even before, because it takes a second or two to catch up. I think most everybody I know, and I feel like this runs throughout the human populations, most of us are better at giving than receiving.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think also in that regard, like, for me, we started the Logan Strong Foundation to help others. But in my experience in helping others and in my coaching and in my career, the more I help others, the more I help myself.
Right. Yeah, I think so too. So one of the things that, you know, you've mentioned are your coaching services. And I do want to just talk about that a little bit. I don't want to, you know, if there's more we want to talk about with Logan, okay, I want to come back to that, but I want to make sure that, you know, we get the advocacy part and the nonprofit in as well.
Thank you.
So let's talk about your coaching services. How does that work? How do people reach out to you? I mean, I'm putting up your social media, and it's all basically, you know, / Jennifer Hendricks Fogg for Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. So if they don't reach out to you there, you've got your website. Do you want me to pull your website up?
Sure. Let's go for it.
All right. You start talking and I'll pull it up.
Sounds good. So obviously going through everything, what we've been through, you know, I wrote the book about the first 5 years of our journey. And when we went to Atlanta last year, you know, I had 3 months focusing solely on Logan. And in doing that, it really helped me take a step back from my other hats that I wear and realize, like, I'm pretty damn good at what I'm doing with my son. And everyone always asks, you know, how do you find the strength, or, you know, the famous question, I don't know how you do it. Right. And I'm like, well, maybe if I helped other people and shared how I do it, then more people will feel empowered and encouraged. So I came across a company that has an actual special needs life quality coach certification. So I went through an intensive training for about 4 months last year, and really got the groundwork for coaching and speaking. And, you know, I have a couple of clients that are like, I basically just hired you so I can vent and you understand, you know, because I always say, you know, parenting doesn't come with a handbook, and special needs parenting sure in hell doesn't come with a handbook. And it's such a lonely world when you're the only person, or you and your spouse are the only people fighting for your child. And, you know, like I said, we've been super blessed with our support system, my husband, my family, my son's school, but like just things that you don't think about, you know, how to advocate for yourself. People don't understand that when you go to the doctors, like, you can ask them questions. Like, what they're telling you isn't anything different. Like, they just have more school loans to pay, right? Like, they're still people. Right. They're still people. And I think at the end of the day, everybody wants to help people. And we have to remember that, you know. So I help people with either advocacy, whether I'm actually in the process. I created a program and I keep revamping it. About resilience, and it's called Survive, Recover, and Thrive. So I think it's important to understand where we are in that process. It's not on here yet. I promise it will be. But, you know, in order to thrive, we have to overcome something. So we need to understand where we're at in that process. But like, here you go, navigating holidays for special needs families. There's a lot of prep work that goes into planning either a holiday gathering at your house or someone else's house when it comes to having a child with special needs or disabilities, or even a neurodivergent family member, right? This isn't just about kids. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you build resilience? How do you find strength? How do you advocate? Like, you know, the whole advocacy thing too. Like, I go by the 48-hour rule. If I need something done for my child and I don't get a response within 48 hours, guess what I'm doing? I'm following up.
Right.
And a lot of people I hear are like, oh, I left a message for my son's doctor. They never got back to me. Okay, well, when did you call them? Oh, 3 months ago. Well, did you try calling again? Did you send an email? Did you try going to the office? Again, people are just people.
Right.
We have to meet them where they're at if we want something done for ourselves.
That's such a good point. And I always try to tell my families that I work with, or anybody that I work with, if you don't hear from me in a few days, please reach back out to me. Yes. Because my email inbox gets inundated with stuff. I mean, I probably get over 100 emails a day.
Sure.
And not all of, I mean, a lot of those are spam, unfortunately. And I've got every filter that I can, and they're not even really spam. It's just like, you know, I follow different organizations and different groups and, you know, different people to help me stay updated. Yeah. And so I get stuff from them. And then, you know, in the middle of that somewhere is a client reaching out to me, you know, and And if I take a day off or, you know, whatever, and then I don't check my emails for if I can't check emails, like yesterday, I was from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. There's just constant just going business meetings, whatever. Yeah. I didn't have a chance to check my emails. Yeah. I ended up this morning. I had over 200 that were unread. I'm like, oh, okay. That's a little overwhelming, you know, but I went through as many as I could. And I always tell people, you know, when I'm working with you, if you send me an email, send me a text too, to let me know that you emailed me, because then I know to specifically go, because my phone will tell me when I get a text and who it's from. But my emails, it just goes, oh, you got an email, you know, and because I get so many, I don't look.
Right.
So yeah, absolutely. People are people, doctors, even offices that have people specifically designed for scheduling and specifically there to look at emails sometimes forget things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I appreciate that. That's a really good tip.
Yeah, absolutely.
So across the bottom of the screen, for those who are just listening, it is Jennifer has a free special needs parent resource, which I think is the page that I'm on right now. So all of these, she has more than one, she has four. So all of these that we are looking at right now, the Navigating Holiday Gatherings Tips for Special Needs Families, the Advocate with Authority, the Transforming Stress into Strength, and Building Resilience, a Self-Care Guide for Parents. Those are awesome to have all four of those things available. So guys, make sure that you go there. It's just jenniferhendricksfogg.com/special-needs-parent or dash, whatever you want to call it, resources. And that'll be, I will quickly put that into the chat thread too, so that maybe then people would be able to just click on it. Is there anything else? I clicked off of it, but I can quickly click back onto the website if there's anything else you want me to share.
I don't think there's anything else to share, but you know, one of the things in starting this coaching journey, I obviously have my own business coach as well, right? As we all do. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, you know, we realized doing some research that there's also an opportunity here to work with businesses, right? And help their employees. I researched 1 in 5 employees in the workplace are special needs caregivers. Mm. 30% of them consider caregiving a second full-time job.
I don't doubt that at all. The only doubt I might have would be the low, that it was only 30%.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, so there's an opportunity. I'm trying to work with businesses as well to help them accommodate. It's weird, right? Like, we want to be special, but we don't want to be special, right? Like, we want to be understood, but I don't want special treatment, but I want to make sure that I have the flexibility, right? So it's a different dynamic in the workplace. And I famous word, COVID, that changed everything, right? Everybody pivoted.
Right.
And I think we've got more of a laid back work culture, but I think it's a little different and a little step further with caregivers, right? Like one of the things I always tell my clients too, and I do it to myself, make sure you get up and get ready every morning, because you never know when your day is going to go sideways. Right. So I get up, I get ready, I go to work. 5 minutes into my workday, I could get a call from my kid's school. My phone is in front of me right now. I could get a call at any minute. Regarding my child. And we have to be prepared for that. And, you know, sometimes it's for longer days, sometimes it's for shorter periods. Like, we don't know what that's going to look like. And we just have to recognize that from an employer standpoint as well.
That is such a valid point. And I honestly am ashamed at myself, but also with my colleagues, that we don't understand how difficult and how truthful that statement really is. You know, just working with families as you do as well, but I mean, you have that very personal experience. You know, if you got that phone call right now, I'd be like, yep, absolutely. We'll continue on another day. Yep. But when it comes to, and I think most people think that way, but when it comes to and you might be facing this with your child, IEP meetings and scheduling those at a time that works within the teacher's contracted hours.
I roll my eyes because I literally just got our Logan's for April, I believe. And it did work out this time for scheduling, but yeah, it's, you know, it's not always easy, but including in that, right, the employer should help accommodate. Like, this isn't something that, like, right, we didn't choose this life, like, not right, to, not to be ungrateful. Like, I wouldn't change anything, but
right,
we have to do additional things as special needs parents and caregivers that someone with a quote unquote, and I use the word normal loosely, child does. You get to pick up your kid after school and take him to baseball. Well, guess what? I have to pick up my kid after school and bring him to therapy, right? Like, we're not the same.
Right.
And there should be an allowance of accommodations for that in the workplace.
Yeah. And I think occasionally, I think businesses are okay. Like, oh yeah, you got to take off for a doctor's appointment this week. And then maybe 2 weeks, you got to take off again, or, you know, leave early, or whatever. It's when it's happening daily,
mm-hmm,
whether it's for illness or behavior, or whatever, that, you know, teachers don't understand that. Businesses don't understand. I shouldn't say they don't understand. They don't seem to be as empathetic in that situation.
And I think that's the point, right? So it's not so much just about what time is missed or allowed, but having that empathy and the understanding of what this parent may be going through that, mm-hmm, you know, maybe other employees are not. And just right, having that extra, and it's not even just the employer to the employee. It could be coworkers as well. Like, having everybody on the same page, like, hey, you don't have to air my dirty laundry, but I got some stuff going on. Cut me some slack, you know, give me a little bit of grace.
Right. And yeah, I mean, I know that we're, you know, in a weird place in the workforce now, with, you know, so many people seem to be short of workers, and it does create an inconvenience if you have to leave in the middle of a shift, sure, because your child needs you. That's an inconvenience for the workplace. But that, like you said, that we have to understand that the parent didn't ask for that. They don't want that. There's something wrong with their child that they have to go pick their child up.
Yes.
It's an inconvenience for everybody.
Yes.
You know, it's an inconvenience for the staff at the school to, you know, whatever this poor child is going through, that, you know, they then have to address that instead of being able to teach or, you know, be the administrator or whatever. You know, their day has been disrupted as well. And it's not a happy situation for anybody. But I think if we can just remember that, And like I said, just have that empathy, like, okay, how can I support you in this?
Right.
You know,
right.
And try to work things out. I mean, there's so many jobs, like you said, since COVID, the work is a little bit looser as far as, you know, the hours and things like that. So if the person's able to get their work completed,
right,
you know, if you're in a job where it's a retail job or it's a, you know, a job where your product is right then and there in that moment, that's a right, little bit harder. And I, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's just a really icky place for everybody to be in, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I've heard that from parents before, like, especially hourly employees, you know, it's because they're not only, you know, they're possibly, if they have sick time or personal time, you know, maybe they can take that, but are they also getting paid? And, you know, I mean, there's so many things to think about. And I get ashamed and I get frustrated with my fellow teachers when they're like, I am not meeting a parent after contracted hours. Like, you're not going to meet every parent after contract hours. You have one, maybe,
right,
a year, if even that often.
Yeah.
Why not just extend that empathy and say, you know what, this is tough on me, but your life is tough too. So let's try to work together on this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I put up all of your social media links and your website. So great. I want to make sure that, again, everybody, you know how to contact Jennifer. I was able to pull up, and if I can go to this, if you would like me to, the Logan Strong Foundation website.
Sure.
Okay. So we'll pull that one up now and you can go ahead and start talking about that foundation as
awesome.
Well.
Awesome. I'm so excited. I love the work that we do. So we decided to start the Logan Strong Foundation actually in January of 2018, which was the smack middle of Logan's treatment. And, you know, it wasn't so much that we weren't getting the support that we needed, but we just realized like services that maybe were missing. You know, there's a lot of great in our area. So I'm in the Albany, New York area. We've got great resources and foundations that help families with different items. But like we help families with the Logan Strong Foundation with items of comfort and support. So somebody had, and I wish I had it with me today. I don't have it. Actually, if you go to services and programs and then scroll down. So this little Ocho here, this little octopus. So somebody, this is like our thing. I love it. So somebody had crocheted one of these for my son when he was first diagnosed. And it became his companion through his entire treatment. Unfortunately, we lost it in the hospital, but we did replace it. So we call it Ocho, octopus, eight legs, right? Ocho, Spanish.
Right.
So they were actually originally developed in Denmark in the 80s. Somebody started making these for NICU babies because the tentacles symbolize the umbilical cord.
Oh. So
we actually teach crochet classes. Actually, my best friend, my son's godmother, crochets, and she teaches classes once a quarter. And she teaches people how to make these. So we partner with other local organizations too, like nursing homes and other cancer centers. Actually, a lot of folks make these. And then we wash them and we bag them and we tag them and we donate them to the hospital, to the kids. Like it's their comfort companion. And it's like, yeah. I actually have one sitting on my desk at home. I call it the adult fidget spinner. Like it's amazing. So if anybody's inclined to learn how to make one, there's a pattern right here on our website as well. So that's like one of our signature products. And then I think if you scroll back up, there's.
And I want to just point out, are these dates when those quarterly classes are?
Yes.
Yep. January 15th, April 9th. Okay.
In person in our area, but you can download the pattern and, you know, make it yourself or send them to us, whatever you want.
Perfect.
And then if you scroll back up a little bit. Yeah. These, that no touching sign, I don't know. Yeah. So somebody had also gifted one of these to my son during his treatment. You know, he was diagnosed at 3 months old. He's a baby. Everybody wants to touch a baby. And somebody had gifted this to us. It's a no touching sign. So it says no touching. Your germs are too big for me. So we actually, there's a company we partner with on Etsy and we order these and we donate them to the hospital as well for the kids going through treatment. Cause obviously when you're getting cancer treatment, when you're going through chemo or radiation, you're immunocompromised. So you don't want anybody to touch you. I mean, sometimes I want to put one on my back. but so those are the two like big things that were given to us that we now pay it forward with. And then we also do gas cards, grocery gift cards, right? We do Amazon wish lists for the families. They can get whatever they want on Amazon. We also do house cleaning services. So we'll partner with a cleaning company and in somebody's area. And, you know, I know like when we were living in the hospital, we were living, I think our longest hospital stay was like 47 days. And like, you want to go home to a clean house, especially if your child's immunocompromised, right? So things that you just don't think about. We also partnered with our local hospital here and we created a program, which is in our second year running and we're sold out for this year, McDonald's Thursdays. There you go. So we partner with a local business on the third Thursday of every month. the business donates $500. We donate 100 Happy Meals to the hospital, as well as gift cards to McDonald's. Is it the healthiest thing? No. Is it a sense of normalcy? Absolutely.
Yes.
So it's a win-win for everybody. We're feeding the kids. We're giving them a sense of normalcy. Who doesn't love McDonald's? And then we're also partnering a local business with them, and they drop off the Happy Meals with us. So then now that business is now invested in the hospital, in the mission, and they can see the impact that their money had just immediately done.
Wow. What a cool idea.
Then we also do bracelet campaigns. So you've seen those bracelets that kids wear. We donate, we'll purchase, 500 bracelets, give them to the family, and the family can use them as a fundraiser. We do like t-shirt campaigns, things like that, where the family can create actually their own logo and put it on a t-shirt, and they can sell those as fundraising. So we're more, going with the whole empowerment theme.
Right.
We're more empowering families rather than just saying, oh, here's money. Like, we want to provide them with things that they may not think about or they may not know about, or encourage them to, hey, you know what? You can do this too. Let's get you out there.
Right. Now, I see you have a gala coming up in May.
This is our third annual Gold Gala. It's such a good time. Between the Gold Gala and then the golf tournament we have in September, those are our two biggest fundraisers throughout the year. And we're going on our eighth year for the golf tournament. So the gala is fairly new. And I have to say, the best part of last year's golf tournament, and I'll never forget, is I was walking around in the morning and maybe three people knew who I was.
Yeah.
And I loved that because it finally got the foundation out of my personal circle. And we had a sellout tournament that year.
That's awesome.
Yep. And then this year we're trying to even sell more.
Yeah. So if there are any businesses or anybody watching or listening, and you happen to be in and around the Schenectady, New York area, be sure to reach out and see how you can support one of these events. I wish I was closer because I would absolutely do something. I don't know what I could do, but you know what? I can donate to the gift card.
There you go. And then we also, even though we're local to the Capital Region area in New York, our services we do provide across the states. So we've been able to help kids in Texas and in Florida. So, if someone's going through a cancer diagnosis or a serious illness and outside of New York, we can definitely help on that services and programs page, is our application for services. So we'll be happy to help any way.
Awesome. So I just want to put up, I think it'll work. That's your social media again, that you're on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. And I think this one, this is the three different websites. So jenniferhendricksfogg.com, loganstrongfoundation.org, and loganstrong.org.
So the loganstrong.org is just Logan's kind of personal page, where we've been sharing his journey since day one, as well as blog posts. And then Logan also has his own Facebook page, which is just Logan Strong NY.
Okay. Awesome. So and then again, I'm going to put this back up. If you want to get that resource, well, maybe I will. There we go. if you want to get that resource or any of those four free resources that Jennifer has, again, just go to the Jennifer Hendricks Fogg, and Fogg is F-O-G-G .com. And, just click the resources tab, and that's, it'll take you to those special needs parent resources. So Jennifer, we have about eight or so minutes, already. I mean, this has been an amazing conversation. But I want to make sure, like I said, we kind of jumped off Logan earlier to go into your advocacy and, you know, into your coaching business and stuff. So there's so many things that I want to ask you, you know, just, I mean, just imagining, oh, here, I do want to bring this comment up from Fran, because you had mentioned this about the caregivers before. Her kids became her full-time job as their therapies and medical appointments took over her life.
Yes.
So I just, as Logan learned to do all the things that you were told at birth he wouldn't do, did you ever go back to the medical professionals and go, you were wrong? Look at these things he can do.
We have such a great relationship with his medical team. We've had pretty much all the same doctor since the day he was born. And his oncologist, every year we go to the hospital for their annual radio-a-thon. And, you know, we always share Logan's story. And every year she's there and she's always like, remember that time I told you he wouldn't survive? Remember that time I told you he wouldn't walk? She goes, what the hell was I thinking? So, you know, I tell people, you know, doctors have to tell you the worst case scenario. Like, that's their job. And this specific doctor, Dr. Weintraub, she's amazing. You know, she tells me and my husband, she's like, the reason your son is here today is because of you and your husband. She goes, mm-hmm. medically, he's not supposed to be here. Oof. And, you know, if it's just like, I always tell people, like, never believe your first thought, right? Mm-hmm. I never believe your first thought because it's tricking you.
Yeah, that's
excuse me. And, you know, it's, they have to tell you the worst case scenario. And it's, I always say, it's not what happens to you, it's what you do with it that matters. And excuse me, we're talking so long, my throat's getting dry. And, you know, it's hard. It sucks. I don't sugarcoat our life. Like, I share the good, the bad, and the ugly. And Fran, I empathize with you tremendously. Like, it's hard. you know,
yeah, I don't have a beep button, so please don't drop the F bomb.
It's my second favorite F word. Food is my first. But Fran, I get it. You know, like, we still do this every year. The, like, January, February, every year, Logan has all his annual doctor's appointments, ENT, gastro, hearing, all the things. And it's like, my husband has a full-time W-2 job. I have a 1099 job. Well, guess who's in charge of this stuff? Me.
Right.
And I literally, going back to what we were talking about a minute ago too, Shelly, about working, it's like, I say to my husband, like, I just want to work a full day. Like, I just want to work one full day, you know? And it's frustrating, and it is a second full-time job, and it's up to us to work together and support each other and be like, hey, you know what? It sucks. I get it. You want a vent? You want a chocolate bar? You want a glass of wine? What do you want?
Chocolate bar and wine. You got women pegged right there.
I told you, food.
Yeah. No, I hear that. I definitely hear that.
It's not easy, but what else are you going to do? Am I going to sit at home and cry and eat bonbons on my couch all day and watch Lifetime? Although that does sound nice sometimes, but, like, it's not going to do anything, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not going to make the situation better for you or for Logan.
No.
And not that you maybe occasionally don't have a day.
Of course.
You know, you're just like, I can't do it. I just need to sit here on the couch and watch Lifetime and eat bonbons today.
100%.
And tomorrow, 100%. We'll take tomorrow when it gets here.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's giving yourself grace. That's self-care.
Right.
Knowing when to walk away and take a break, that is self-care.
Yeah. It sounds so simple, but it is so incredibly difficult. And I say that as a mom of a quote unquote normal child.
Yep.
So I can only imagine.
Well, and I think it's important to understand too, like, hey, you know what? The laundry is going to be there later. The dishes are still going to be there, right?
Yeah. There's no dish fairy coming in to do those dishes.
I wish there was. There's no, you know, your email's still going to be there. Like, what's important is your child and the services that they need right at that moment. Everything else, you are worth it. Yes, Fran. Everything else can wait. Like, yeah. I've even, one of my New Year's resolutions this year was to take 30 minutes to eat lunch every day. The emails can wait. The phone calls can wait. I need to sit down and nourish myself so I can be the best person that I can be.
Yeah. And that's something that I have to do running my own business is because I can 100% invest 8, 10, 12 hours every single day in doing. And I wear, my mom always says, I don't know if you've ever seen that commercial where there's a woman sitting at a table and she's got like 15 hats on her head. My mom always says that's me because of all the different things that I'm doing. And I mean, there have been times when my husband and I started working from home together that he would, all of a sudden food would appear on my desk because I would not stop to eat. And he's like, you've got to eat, you know, and it's just, I get so focused on what I'm doing that hunger isn't able to penetrate. Not saying I don't have it, but I just like, no, I don't have time for that right now.
You know, and it's funny you mentioned the hats because it's so true in women, especially, you know, one of the things we also learned in the feeding program was to know what hat you're wearing. So like with us, when we're feeding our son, when he was being aggressive and things, okay, I don't have my mom hat on right then and there. I've got my feeding therapist hat on. I can't be mom because then the emotions take over, right? So you have to know what hat you're wearing at any given moment, and you don't try to wear them all at once.
Yeah, 100% sure. Oh my goodness, that's great advice. All right, well, we do need to wrap up. So is there anything, any final encouraging words or statement or anything?
This was a wonderful conversation, and Fran, you're awesome.
Yeah, she is. I tell her that frequently, but she doesn't believe me. and she did say, thanks for sharing your journey. I'm not sure if I popped that up. So Jennifer, thank you again. This flew by.
Yes.
And as I said, you know, there are so many questions that I want to ask you about just, you know, his whole journey and so many things, but we don't have time for all that because we could be here for hours and hours. But I so appreciate your honesty and guys, make sure that you are liking, subscribing, and following so that you get the notifications every single time I bring you another amazing story like Jennifer's. This is my hobby, and it's such a rewarding hobby for me to be able to share these wonderful stories with you and hopefully change your perspective and help you understand why I say hashtag no limits. We know who we are, but not who we will be. I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.